What's up, everybody? It is another episode of the Stew Show. Welcome to the Stew Show. Please let a neighbor or your coworker, maybe your best friend, your sister, or brother, to check out the StewShow.com, all lowercase, or the Stew Show on iTunes. Much love and aloha to everyone listening. We got to give a special shout out to the Big Island today because it's still on fire. It's been a long time and my old neighborhood is getting all burned down. Like Roseanne Barr has to go back to her macadamia nut farm in Hawaii. See ya, crazy lady. She done fucked up. Throws millions out the window. What a retard.
Where did she live on the Big Island?
No. But the Big Island being still going, toxic gas explosions, a fucking war zone. It's fucking gnarly over there. But I have a Big Island story just to get my mind off of the
volcano
lava and the burning of my whole freaking neighborhood. I've had so many friends lose their homes and stuff. One of my friends lost $1 million already, dude.
Wow.
Gone. But we used to go to this nudist beach, and it's a black sand beach, and me and Roseanne go there, and they always have, like, drum circles, doobies, there's a waterfall, there's great waves, great snorkeling, and then this one, like, super-duper fat dude. Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a nice enough guy. He just had elephantitis of the balls. I mean, dude, we couldn't stop laughing. Enough to where we're like, we don't want to go back there until he's not hanging out there. Like, we called him the Uniball because it wasn't like two nut sacks, but like seriously, the size of a cantaloupe, like bigger than a grapefruit. Just this naked fat guy with one ball that was the size of a frick grapefruit. Is bigger than the size of my head, dude.
What?
Like, yeah, it's just gross looking. Elephantitis of the fucking nutsack, bro.
You couldn't keep your eye off it.
Well, when he's right in front of you.
Yeah.
You're sitting on your tail and he's like flaying in the sand. You're like, dude, look at the size. You know, when you're with chicks, too, it's like, dude, look at the size of that guy's nutsack.
Okay, that's
you. if you were there, you would know.
All right.
You would be like, yes, everyone knows. Dude, we're all looking at it. It's freaking awkward. But I wanted to get to some sound bites. Want to get some off the menu. First things first. Brad Olson, Santos, the creator of the Howard Street Fair, is here right now.
I'm here.
And he did 3 hours of video and audio potting today himself. How do people get in touch with your show?
The Esoteric Circle on Revolution Radio, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 to 6 p.m. on Late Night in the Midlands. And also Facebook Live.
All right. Let me get into this. I hope this is interesting enough. It's by a midget. Going to Fantasy Island this weekend, dude.
Where, the Big Island?
I get to go to Fantasy Island. I get to choose whatever I want. I got to pay this guy loads of money.
Whatever your fantasy is?
Yeah, it's whatever I want. So, that's pretty cool.
What's your fantasy?
Oh, I can't tell you.
Well, I can tell you mine.
But, okay, what do you got?
Well, to be with my new girlfriend, Emily, Infinity, on a beautiful paradise beach, with or without clothes on.
Alright, ready?
I'm ready.
You're in San Diego.
Check.
It's at the latest 1989, and you're gonna go to a rave.
All right, You know, it, foo is correct. You know, foo in French means crazy.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, I am very aware of that.
Francois de Crazy.
Francois de Fou. Francois de Crazy, you know, when it's translated into English at any rate. But I, my reason for coming to America, like the other man, I was never in a war. It was unfortunate. I couldn't go. I had double murmur in the mind or something. And my they call it mon sacré chien entendu, which is mind murmuring. And the eyes roll around and you can't concentrate on the artillery. So I passed on that and had just a series of affairs, de son cher.
Okay, all right. Hold on. Maybe we were looking for this. Maybe.
Y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
Here it is.
San Diego, 1988,
89. Here we go.
We're going to do a rave at the San Diego Sports.
Now we got it.
Here we go.
Okay, ready? You're going to go.
The Wayback Machine.
Yeah, might as well take some acid. Go to a rave.
Let's go to a rave, yeah.
Yeah, let's go to a party where there's thousands, thousands of people, dude. Like a whole fucking stadium filled with people. That sound in the background and everything. This is so like what we used to listen to. It's so ridiculous. Like, dude, this is psychedelic trance for us back in the 80s.
Woo!
Yeah!
Laser beams, flashing lights, disco balls.
Look at the, all that.
All
shit.
That. All of it.
Alright, so here's the scoop. Back in the day in the 80s, right? There was some real hardcore punk rock bands that, for me, was what punk rock is.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain starts
grunge.
Nirvana, right? And people were like,
you better go back to grunge.
That's punk rock, though.
Yeah.
He's punk rock, but he was the first one to take the 80s punk rock sound and turn it into money. Now, he's no Kurt Hammond on the guitar, but he was not that original either. Like, kind of like that dude Billy Joe, that fucking hack from fucking his Green Day band. Like,
check.
Fake as fuck. I think they need to have a circle jerk party. But of all of them, Dave Grohl is a true rock and roller. You know what I mean?
Well, speaking of Dave Grohl, didn't you get his drum set at one time?
I owned his kit when signed with Nirvana through my friend Jace Michaud.
Yeah?
Long story. But
wow.
I do love some of Nirvana's songs, right? But even though I think that they weren't that original of a sound, but Kurt made them feel like only a few people in a million can, right?
Uh-huh.
When I was younger, my mom and dad went to a show, and they dropped me off at Grandpa Joe's, and I kicked and screamed and said, please don't go, and I said, Grandma, take me home, and she's like looking at me, and I'm like, Grandma, take me home, and
is that a grunge song?
I had to eat my dinner there. Right? Mashed potatoes and stuff like that. Couldn't chew my meat too good. Grandma, take me home. 8 times. Why don't you stop crying? Go outside and ride your bike. That's what I did. And I killed my toad.
Oh!
After dinner, I had ice cream. I fell asleep. And watched TV. Woke up in my mother's arms. Grandma, take me home. I want to be alone.
Okay.
But if you did all the Grandma Take Me Out there 8 times, that's one of Cobain's lyrics, and it's like, he is an original
songwriter.
Well, he's awesome, dude. You know what I mean? He is.
Yeah.
He is Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
When Brad and I, we first were living in San Francisco, what was the year you moved there?
95.
Okay, I moved there 90, yeah. Right?
You were there a little before me.
There was a street named Chuck Norris, and they had to change the name because no one crosses Chuck Norris and lives.
Oh! Not a true story.
But Jimmy Kimmel versus Ted Cruz in a one-on-one basketball game in Houston, Texas is coming up.
Oh,
it's a, I call it Hoops and Cowboy Boots.
That'll be rich.
Hoops and Cowboy Boots. All right. Let's get one quick Trump bash in while I still can. You think I can pull it off?
No, I think you can.
Let's try it.
If anyone can, you can, Sue.
Did anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it and run it tough? I don't say he was nice, or I don't say anything about it. He ran it. Very few people at that age, you can take 1 out of 10,000 probably couldn't do it.
You don't give dictators points for being young?
That's like saying, you know, Vlad the Impaler became ruler at age 20. Nobody talks about that. Everybody gets all hung up on the impaling part, okay? Not how young he was. He was the Mozart of sticking wood through people. And ultimately, Trump was confident that Kim would follow through on their agreement unless he doesn't.
Honestly, I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
Did he suddenly become self-aware?
Fuck, did he just say?
I'll make up an excuse, then I'll start to believe the excuse, then I'll attack anyone who remembers what I used to say, because it was all Obama's idea. And that guy, why did he say that? And Trump's already seeing ways to make money off this deal.
They have great beaches. You see that whenever they're exploding their cannons into the ocean, right? So I said, boy, look at that. Wouldn't that make a great condo behind?
What?
You know, instead of doing that, you could have the best hotels in the world right there. Think of it from a real estate perspective.
How about think about it from a presidential perspective? Because I don't remember Churchill saying this.
We should build condos on the beaches. We should put a golf course on the landing grounds. We shall rezone the fields and the streets. We shall not rest until there's a Joe's Crab Shack on every corner.
Fucking Trump, his idea of negotiating with a psycho is, dude, we could turn this into money if, like, you build some condos and throw up a golf course and shit. Dude,
let me give you some pointers.
You have beautiful beaches. We could use my construction team.
We'll call it Trump.
All you gotta do is just get rid of those nukes, and then we'll just do this.
Sure.
You'll be rich.
Yeah, just like that.
Okay. You know, I killed my family and 300 other people just for not having the haircut I wanted.
Get them out of
have.
The way. Yeah.
Yeah. Just are you kidding me, dude? All right. So, you got any data on what's going down with the, like, you know how there is the Canadians, the French, there's all these people that are our allies and he's fucking them up, but he's like trying to become friends with Putin and Kim Jong-un.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a game of geopolitical chess. And you have a lot of players with a lot of agendas. And a lot of times we don't know what the master of these games is thinking. Maybe it's a multi-pronged game where some players are on one side and other players are on the other. And once in a while, some players flip.
Right.
It seems to me that Trump is aligning himself more with China, North Korea, and maybe even Russia than he is the European allies. So something is big on the playing field going down. And who knows? Maybe it's these 35,000 sealed indictments that might get opened fairly soon, which would send the ruling elite into a tizzy, because they would then have arrest warrants over their head. Right. Now, that's just what's being talked about on this conspiracy circles. However, it is a fact. There are 35,000 sealed indictments right now against people. Usually in a typical year, it's only about 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what is up with the uptick? The other thing is, Trump's got a portrait of Andrew Jackson in his office in the White House. Andrew Jackson was the last president to kick out the central bankers. Maybe they're in this indictment. Maybe we're going to have an overhaul of the financial system.
Right.
It would seem that there are big moves on the board that we know nothing about, that we can only get little tidbits of sarcasm on these comedy shows. And I've said it from the beginning, Trump will either go down in history as the world's worst president by self-dealing and other stupid things, or he could be the best president ever if he's able to drain the swamp and get rid of this nefarious side of Washington, D.C. and the elite underground. But again, we are not privy to this kind of information.
All right, so just like on a similar but different note, you know who Eric Lundgren is?
Uh-huh.
Who is he?
The actor?
No. He spent I think it was $14,000 or $16,000 on taking a BMW and turning it into an electric car.
Oh, okay.
And he beat out the Tesla by three times in how much it can go on a single charge.
Okay.
Well, he takes all old computer parts and this and that and the other and recycles them and makes all the parts that were, because we're building up loads of shitty garbage of electronics, which has really toxic shit in it, right? Yeah. In all these electronics, and we sell loads of them. I mean, just iPhones and shit like that in a year, you wouldn't believe the numbers, bro, of how many Americans own those things. Uh-huh. And then they throw them away and they want to get the next one and right. stuff like that. And this guy's taking them and recycling them.
Well, that's cool.
And making it so people can buy this stuff or
super cheap.
It's really cheap to fix an old computer.
Sure.
I just upgraded buy this guy's stuff and boom, boom, boom. Well, I think he used the wrong name of a company, but he's going to go to jail.
Why?
Because they're suing him.
For what?
He put a name of a company on.
No.
Yeah, trust me, dude. You got to look into it online.
I don't think he's going to go to jail, though.
Yep, he's going to jail. 13 to 16 months.
What?
And he is one of the dudes that's saving the planet more than anyone I've ever heard of.
Uh-huh.
And I heard about it on my audio version of the 2018's The Man Show. Okay. And we start with Adam Carolla and his Adam Carolla Show with Eric Lundgren. If you look on his site, you can go to where it's Eric Lundgren, and it's on part two. It's easy to find anywhere you get podcasts. Then his partner from The Man Show, Jimmy Kimmel, has balls of steel here, right?
The Man Show? You mean Women on Trampolines?
That's The Man Show.
That was.
So watch this, ready? You want to see someone who has some serious balls?
Check.
He's not on a podcast. He's not a nobody. He is on one of the main You know, network. ABC, CBS, TV and shows, you know, he's on one of the main ones, bro. I give it up to Kimmel.
I'm wondering now if any of us are going to last 4 years. I haven't screamed at my TV this much since McDreamy died, really. It's the last time. The only person who's happy right now is Sean Spicer. He's doing backflips wherever the hell he is. I've been thinking about this, and I want to speak to those of you who voted for Donald Trump. And first of all, I want to say, I get it. I actually do. You're unhappy with the way things were going. You wanted someone to come in and shake things up. You want business as usual. Nothing ever seems to get done. It's always the same. These candidates make a lot of promises that go nowhere. It happens over and over again, and you're sick of it. And so this guy shows up riding down a golden escalator. He's not part of the political establishment. In fact, he's the opposite of that. He's a billionaire, maybe. He's written books. He's not politically correct. He's not even correct, usually, but he talks tough. He wants to drain the swamp. Sometimes he can be funny.
Yeah.
He rips into his opponents in a way politicians never do, have never done before. And he thought, you know what? This guy's different, and that's what I want, different. Let's roll the dice. Let's get him in there. Have him run the country like a business. Cut the dead weight. Toughen everyone up. Let's shake this Etch-a-Sketch hard and start over. So you vote for him. You pick him over Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz and John Kasich and a dozen other Republicans whose name we forgot. And ultimately, he beats them. He strolls in. He beats all of these guys who've been in politics forever. And then he beats the ultimate political insider, Hillary Clinton, a woman who's been running for office, a woman who ran for president of her mother's uterus in the womb forever. He beats her. Everyone said he wouldn't, but he did, and it's exciting because this is your guy. You picked a horse at like 35-1, and somehow it paid off. So now he's the president, and it starts off okay. He meets with President Obama, and they seem to have a nice conversation. Then he moves into the White House. Right off the bat, he's angry at the media for reporting that the crowd at his inauguration was smaller than he thought it was, which was weird, but not important, really. And he claimed it stopped raining when he was speaking at his inaugural address, which everyone could see it was raining, but okay, it was his first week, you give him a break. So he gets in there, hires his daughter, hires his son-in-law, demands an investigation of voter fraud, even though he won the election. He calls the Prime Minister of Australia and hangs up on him. He won't shake Angela Merkel's hand. He doesn't know Frederick Douglass isn't alive. He claims he can't release his tax returns because they're under audit, then says he's not going to release them at all. He signs a ban on Muslims that he claims isn't a ban on Muslims. He compliments the president of the Philippines for murdering drug addicts. Hours after a terror attack in London, he starts a fight with their mayor. After criticizing Obama for playing golf, he plays golf every weekend. He accidentally shares classified intelligence with the Russians. He tweets a typo at midnight, then wakes up and claims it was a secret message. He praises Jim Comey in October, calls him a coward in June. He fires him. He lashes out at his own attorney general for recusing himself from an investigation. He hires the mooch. He fires the mooch. He bans the transgendered in the military without telling anyone in the military he's doing it. He plays chicken with Kim Jong-un. And that's just some of the list. If I went through all of it, it'd be longer than the menu at the Cheesecake Factory. It would be... So... He is a total disaster. He screws up royally every day, sometimes two or three times a day. We can't keep up with it. Things come out of nowhere. Every day there's something nuts. But you've been trying to ignore it because you don't want to admit to these smug, annoying liberals that they were right. That's the last thing you want to do. But the truth is, deep down inside, you know you made a mistake. You know you picked the wrong guy. And it isn't getting better. It's getting worse. So you can do one of two things. You can dig in like Chris Christie at a hometown buffet. Or you can treat the situation like you would if you'd put Star Wars wallpaper up in the kitchen. All right, I got caught up. I was excited. I made a mistake. And now it needs to go. Well, now he does need to go. So it's time for especially you, who voted for him, to tell him to go. Think about it. It makes it. He doesn't even want to be president. He's miserable. But he won't resign because his ego is sick.
What we need to do is get the people that voted him in to go like this. All right, we made a mistake. And it's hard to admit you were wrong and to get rid of the dude.
Because you can't.
Can't.
Unless he's impeached. And like Kimmel said, if he goes too big, he won't resign. But never. Let's see what he can do. If he's going to try to drain the swamp, let's see it.
Right.
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see him build a wall that Mexico's going to pay for, but that ain't going to happen. I mean, I'm like, I go back from the beginning, dude. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Guy's a fucking liar. Yeah?
Well, he's been caught in a few whoppers. That's true.
He's a fucking liar. Like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. You guys, here's one. An old, old San Francisco story, right?
I'm ready.
So, I grew up in Notto. And most guys from Notto, you can just see it's written all over them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple guys that was like, you're like puppet head. Like, you just don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your scene. And one of them was Chuck Mailing, and the other one was John Mailing. But girls that were total Notto chicks loved both those dudes.
How come?
They're not the same guy, everyone. You know, everyone else there is like carbon copy almost.
Jack.
But Charles and John, they lived in McAllister Street in San Francisco, two blocks from Divisadero. And they lived, believe it or not, with the lead singer of Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, before he was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie, Chuck, and John were really good friends. And one time, Eddie sent a tape to someone who was looking for a singer up in Seattle. And it was like kind of like overnight. The next thing you know, he's playing in front of like hundreds and hundreds of people singing with Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it went ricker. Like, do you ever know of anyone else singing for Pearl Jam?
Hmm.
Or no. Is he the only one?
Only one I ever knew.
Yeah, like everyone thinks, oh, Eddie Vedder must have started that band. I'm like, no. But after, and these guys were like tight, yeah? After fucking Eddie got hooked up with those guys, he never called or talked to Charles Mealing ever again. Those guys called him, wouldn't answer the phone, nothing.
Really?
And he makes it big and ditches his friends, you know? I'm kind of like, what a douche. So Charles and Chuck, like, John was always into Berkeley and the school, and I think he teaches there now.
Hmm.
But he went to school for like 12 years or something crazy. Like, he's got some crazy degrees. Super smart guy, but like boogie smart.
Like Ben went to Cal.
Chuck.
He put a Cal sticker on the bulldog truck.
So Chuck, or Chuckles, he moved down to L.A., and then he was in the band the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
And he was living in L.A. for years, but then he got into doing some video, but he was still with the band. And being like, if you've ever known him, like the true motivator that Chuck was, guess who he makes videos for bands to make enough money to move his brother, his mom, his wife, and his whole family to Paris, France. And he lives there currently. And they have a maid and everything.
Wow.
A, Eddie Vedder. B, Meatloaf. C, Paul McCartney. Or D, Kurt Cobain.
I'll say Eddie Vedder.
Paul McCartney.
Why would Paul McCartney kick down?
Because he loves the way that Chuck makes videos. And he pays him a lot of money to make videos for bands that Paul loves.
Wow.
And I'm like this. Fuck you, Eddie Vedder. You should have been friends with Chuck. You know, shouldn't have abandoned him. Because I don't know. Chuck's probably got a little bit better of a life hanging out with Paul McCartney than Eddie Vedder. But, you know, everyone loves that dude, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
You're so great.
Well, what about Chuckles? How come you don't like Chuckles?
I don't know. You just never talked to him ever again after they were like, they were super tight.
Okay.
But, so when Charles and John moved from 1378 McAllister, JK, my friend from London, and Hiawatha lived there, and then I moved in. It was a strange time. I don't know if you know much about like 89, 90, 91, 92. But if you lived down below DeViz,
Jack,
it was rough neighborhood, dude.
Oh, on the slower hate?
It was like people got knocked out, robbed, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
We got robbed at our house, but me and Hiawatha were in the kitchen with our friend Greg Disso and JK.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to Upper Haight. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
We bail. JK is sitting in his bed, and he just got a zipper that he paid like his whole week for this thing. He's rolling a joint. And freaking these two black guys come in.
Through the front door?
No, through our, what's the, fire escape?
Uh-huh.
They climbed up the fire escape and just came in the window. It was summertime, it was hot.
Yeah.
And they had SFPD sweatshirts on. But they're carrying kitchen knives. And my friend JK from London's like, you're not fucking cops. Like, Greg Ditzler was hiding
get
underneath.
Get the bullocks out of here.
Dizzler's hanging out underneath the table. Jack. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. Oh, shit, dude. Like, me and Hi come back later, like, what happened? Oh, shit.
Ah, jeez.
1378 has a lot of memories, my friend.
DeViz, huh?
McAllister, but Cali. Like 2 blocks from DeViz.
Jack.
Like, I know some people don't appreciate him. Do you ever listen to Bill Maher?
Oh, I've listened to him. I don't appreciate him.
You don't like him?
I don't know. It was pretty predictable, his viewpoint.
Bill Gates met with Trump recently, and he said Trump asked him several times if HIV was the same as HPV. That's who our president is. A man who has to have the talk at the age of 71. Gates tried to answer the question. He tried to put it in a way Trump could understand. He said, Mr. President, HPV, that's what you get for sleeping with a porn star. HIV, that's what you get for sleeping with Hannity.
Oh.
And the big feather in his cap is blowing away. His Korean big deal looks like it's falling apart.
Well, it didn't.
Kim Jong-un says now that he will not dismantle his nuclear weapons unless U.S. military threats are removed from South Korea. And Trump says his politics will not be dictated by North Korea. That's a new job for Fox and Friends. Trump is working on jobs in China. Yeah. Did you see this? He tweeted, President Xi and I are working together. Too many jobs lost in China. Wait, jobs lost where? Did you say? I'm sorry. What country are we making great again? Did I? You know why this is? Because China, this is so naked. China invested $500 million in a Trump resort project in Indonesia. And like the next day, Trump's lifts sanctions on their telecom company, ZTE, which is spying on you. That's why our spy agencies are against it. I mean, you can tell this one is really shady because he keeps referring to the Chinese leader as President Xi Jinping.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. All right. We're about to wrap this up. It's a quick show. Santos did already 3 hours today. I was on there for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He did 3 hours, but the other night, it was like...
You gonna take that caller from Austin?
Oh, gosh. Should we call him? It was guys' night out for the stew, right?
Yeah.
And, well, tell me real quick.
Up in the Redwoods?
Hold on. We were both just at the Ill River.
Check.
Best day or night of the Eel River.
Oh, hanging out with you, man. And our raft trip from Grabberville down to Redway on the kayaks. That was a hoot. Went through some rapids. Saw some big fish swimming by. You saw a yellow-bellied sapsucker newt.
Dude,
a good time.
It was hilarious. Like, we're busting down this river. There was some rapids, but then there was one pocket where it was like, okay, this is going to be dicey.
Yeah.
And I went over to the left, and I hit it, and I almost rolled the kayak with all my stuff in it and everything. I was just like, and I'm pulling like the... It's going to the right. I'm leaning to the left. Like, lean with it. Lean with it. Like, and paddle. Like, no, 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 no. And I worked my way out.
You
were behind me, and I was like this. Oh, I know he's going to go to the left, because the right was, like, impossible. I was like, oh, okay. I just turned my kayak around, and I'm like, see what Olsen's got. And it was the same thing. You were like, whoop, down, in, almost over, almost, ah!
Pull out.
Nope, didn't roll it over. I was like, attaboy.
And we were the only team that didn't tip over. All the other teams, someone flipped over.
Did they?
Yeah. The Iranian chicks.
Oh, gosh. So, guys night out for the stew. This is classic. But I'm doing a show at the comedy club here in Santa Rosa the other day. And a group of us went in the back after the show to burn a fat one. And I fired up, and I passed it to Conan O'Brien. Like, he was there. And if Conan O'Brien asks you if you want to burn one.
You better burn one.
You're like, fuck yeah, I want to burn one with Conan. So we go in the back, and then Doug Benson shows up. He passes it to Benson. Then fucking, he wasn't even on the bill or anything. Joe Rogan comes out. Passes Joe Rogan. Then fucking, shit you not, believe it or not, Mick Jagger walks out.
What?
He was with Joe. Mick Jagger is hitting the fucking joint I rolled. I was like, dude, fuck yeah. Then all of a sudden, Jim Gaffigan.
Gaffigan was there.
The fucking family man. He comes out, passes it to Gaffigan. Right?
Passes the Ducci to the left
now,
one
now
side.
No, it's getting, it's like halfway done because I rolled fucking chonger, right? Who walks out the door? Fucking Dave Chappelle and Bill Maher.
What?
Dude. Oh, my God. So, we're all burning. And then it gets to Jim Gaffigan. He passes it to me.
Uh-oh.
Like, fuck yeah, I'm going to take it from Gaffigan, dude. This is fucking crazy. I take a big old fat hit. Tom Papa walks out. And I go, Papa, he looks at the crew that's out there, and I'm like this, hit that shit, dude. Tom Papa, the fucking bread man's all hitting this shit, dude. If there could have been like, oh man, I would just wish it a few more, but that was like the coolest night I've ever had in a long time. Probably one of the best joints I've ever had. OG Kush, of course.
What?
Yeah, baby.
Where's that caller from Austin?
I don't know. I'm going to give him the text.
Should call him.
Hold on.
Or should I?
Hold on.
You call. All right.
Oh. Hiawatha getting his cane sword taken from him from the cops in Buena Vista Park. Like, how would a cop know if you had a cane that there was a sword in it? You know what I mean?
How'd they know?
They knew. They said, bring that over here. I'm like, how did the cops freaking know you had a cane sword?
I'll did it never get know. Stolen?
The cops took
it.
Yeah, they just
back.
Said, nope, you can't have this. I'm like, dang, dude.
Then what? You never got it back?
Oh, no way.
No way.
No way.
My birthday recently, for my birthday, I got a humidifier and a dehumidifier. I put them in the same room, let them fight it out.
I did comedy for a fundraiser once. We were trying to raise money to buy one of those machines that shows how much money has been raised.
I headed to the highway and began hitching. Within 3 minutes, I got picked up in one of those huge trailer trucks carrying 20 brand new cars. I climbed out the side of the cab and he opened the door and the guy said, I don't have much room in here. I want to get in one of the cars and back. He's really into picking up people because he picked up 19 more. We all had our own cars. I think he went 90 miles an hour. We all got speeding tickets.
I don't have a girlfriend. I just know a girl who would get really mad if she heard me say that. I play golf. I'm not good at golf. I never got good. I never got a hole in one. But I did hit a guy. And that's way more satisfying.
Sometimes you can't hear me because sometimes I'm in parentheses. I bought some powdered water.
Ring, oh, hold on, hold the phones, people. We have got a caller. Let me see here. Who do we got? Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep. It's Austin, Texas calling. There he is.
Oh, shnikes.
Max Stone.
Stone.
Stone. Put him on speaker. Fucking tick. What up, Stone?
We've got a man from Austin, Texas.
The man from Austin.
All right, now, dude, that's a noun. And then the other guy's like, no, that's a subnoun. And he goes, no, it isn't. That's a verb. And then the other guy walks in and he goes, contraire, mo frere, that's an adverb. And then you were like, that's an adjective. And then the word is coming to when it comes around to me. And I'm like, dude, that was a pronoun. And then we looked it up.
I heard that.
It was a pronoun the whole time.
What's your pronoun?
Give me
a Z or do a they, them?
Give me your pronoun. We've been getting kind of dicky political. What do you got going on in the world these days, Stone, on your head? What do you got? Top five options. Go.
Well, first thing, I got myself on InfoWars.
Wow.
I went to protest. No, I was just a cameo, but I went to the protest of Bill Clinton at his book signing in Austin. And so there was a bunch of people out there, and InfoWars was there, and so I was just screaming and stuff, yelling in the background while they were interviewing people. It was fun. Bill Clinton's a rapist. Lock him up.
That's what you said?
Oh, I was yelling it. You know what's funny is, like, these older, I mean, really older guys will come up and, like, what are you guys here for? I'm like, what are you here for?
Well, Santos told me that you're just jealous because you've never put a cigar there.
I never said
I've
that.
Never, I have not. I have not put a cigar there.
Yeah, that's because it's creepy.
It's kind of funny. I'm on one of them. I watched one of them. I was like, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to send it to you, whether it's InfoWars or Alex Jones channel or all those channels they got.
Infographics.
Anyway, yeah. So I appear, but it's not like I'm featured.
But you were on Jenny Jones last week, and The View, well, and The Chew.
That's a regular appearance. It's because I've got such good form when I'm doing my workout.
Max is filling in for Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi.
Whoopi.
A can of Whoopi.
So, yeah, what else is going on? Politics? I don't know. I think in Austin here, they're no longer talking about the bathroom bill. But I was just watching a video of women's track, man. College women's track or high school women's track. You know, these Transformers, I guess, is what we're calling them now. The boy girls, the he-she's, you know, they're winning all the track meets, setting records. And the guy was coming, he's like, how would you like to be the father of one of those actual women that your daughter is out there and she's been working hard and then she gets beat by one of these Transformers?
Transformers, you mean transgender?
You mean Bruce Jenner? Talking
well,
about.
Well, I mean Caitlyn Jenner.
I mean Caitlyn.
Just all you gotta do is say you're a girl and you're a girl.
Oh, Max, please!
Come on.
Please. You can't just, Max. Only Thor can lift the hammer of Thor. Only a boy can have a little dauber in between his legs. Max, please!
He's twigging berries, you know what I mean?
What are you guys up to out there in the garage?
Oh, we are just wrapping this up. We just wanted to say hi to you, see if you had anything interesting to put onto the show.
Oh, you're doing a stew show.
You got that right. Right.
We're just about to wrap this up.
We got more, but
we did a lot of potting today. Santaj did 3 hours of audio.
Oh, yeah. Esoteric circle.
We will.
Tell me what you're
talking about. Today was backward engineering.
Let us call you right back, yeah?
You want to call me back? You can.
All right, shoots.
Well, that's about all the time we have here tonight on the Stew Show. Our sponsors today were Bill Maher and a couple
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Thanks to Kimmel. Dude, you have to admit when you heard that, he has balls.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
He throws down.
Pretty funny. You know, we live in a great country when you can make fun of the leader, and it should always be that way. But seems to me that they could say a couple nice things about the guy once in a while. Not that I'm a huge Trump supporter, but it just seems very lopsided.
Aww. You just wish I get the new iPhone.
Maybe if he did, like, normal stuff that a president would do.
Right.
Quit tweeting at 3 a.m. about dumb shit.
Covfefe.
TV is his little best friend.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. Anyways, it was a great show today. I did 3 hours, so we're about ready to wrap it up here, folks. Another edition of the Stew Show. Right here on StewShow.com.
You're getting mad cause I'm getting rich. You're getting mad cause I'm getting rich.